All right, Mile High Bridge Show. Ryan Kent here. My name is Rich Ryan. We are your hosts. We're just going to talk about stuff, mostly training, mostly around hybrid training. But first, my guy, week-long vacation, back in Colorado. Looks like he got a fresh cut.
Fresh cut? Like haircut?
Did you not?
No.
Oh, you just look good. I haven't seen you in a minute. I'm just like, damn, dude, looking good out here.
It was cut on 4th of July, but I had a hat on.
What? You weren't happy with the cut? Had to toss a hat on there?
Yeah, you know, it goes through that weird phase where it takes like 2 weeks to grow in. So I was just wearing a hat. Wearing a hat all the time.
It's grown in well.
Grown in well. But yeah, what's up, dude?
Welcome back.
Thanks, man. I'm repping the new Powerlift logo shirt.
New branding. New branding's tough.
It is pretty fire, dude. It is pretty fire. I'm about to crack open this lemon lime.
Lemon lime's good flavor. I think that was my top. I think that's the best when it's like cold and it's like hot out.
Well, I came home from my trip and it was sitting on my front door in 90 degree weather. So your boy's got a glass of ice here.
Oh, man, look at you.
We're going to pour it in.
With your fancy pants. I just go room temp. That's fine. Pinky up. Throw it down. Looks like a Mountain Dew. So that's like a 2-for-1.
Dude, I was actually – so on the trip, I was in a gas station, and I had like 2 power lifts with me. And obviously, that didn't last the whole trip. So I had to go with another beverage, and I'm in the gas station, and I looked at those – Prime drinks, the hydration drinks.
I'm not sure.
You're not familiar with those?
I don't think so.
I think it's Logan Paul's company or whatever. He makes energy drinks, but he also does like a hydration beverage. And I was like, oh, let me try this out. And I got it. It tasted pretty good, but I was looking at the ingredients on the back and whatnot. And it pretty much had everything that Powerlift has, but Powerlift has way more electrolytes, way more BCAAs. The only thing that Prime had more than Powerlift was potassium, which it's like, go eat another banana. Not that big of a deal.
What's their shtick? Is it just supposed to be hydration and energy? Was there caffeine in it?
No caffeine. No, there's no, so there's no protein. There's sweeteners in it. So, I mean, from just like reading the label, the nutritional label, I was like, dude, Powerlift is a far superior beverage than this crap. I mean, it tasted good.
You should have took that right up to the front counter, started telling the person all about Powerlift. Like, you need to get that shit in here right now. Because that is what's nice about it, is that there are no dyes or extra like bullshit in there. It's just, you know, they use some natural sources to color it, but it's not like weird dyes that you'll see in Gatorade or whatever.
Right. I was actually wearing a Powerlift shirt into a gas station on the trip, and a lady was like, you Powerlift? I was like, it's actually a beverage. But yes, I do.
Oh, you do Powerlift.
Yeah.
Barely. Curls, that's not a Powerlifting move.
Fuck out of here.
That's not a Powerlifting move, dude. All right. Tell me about your trip. What happened?
Well, so we took a trip to Mammoth Lakes, California, which is Sarah's hometown, which is also where the OCR World Championships are going to be
scouting
later this year. And so she had a wedding that she was in. She was one of the bridesmaids. And we decided to take a road trip. And we left on Monday. And it's about a 15.5-hour drive. And rather than try to break it up into 2 days, we decided to break it up into 3, just with Basin and the dogs. Like, it just made more sense to do 3 5.5-hour days.
It's a whole squad. You got a whole squad with you.
Yeah. So, but we woke up on Monday and Basin had a fever. So we were like, oh boy, like what do we do here? Sarah was kind of thinking about maybe flying out on her own and I would stay behind with Basin, but we decided to forge on. And forge on we did. And each day, Basin got a little bit more sick.
Oh, jeez.
And there were a bunch of details along the way, but he got a little bit more sick each day. We got there on time. We arrived on Wednesday. And by the time it was time to leave on Saturday, and we had to actually make it back in 2 days coming back, because I have to go in tomorrow to UPS. So we were going to have to knock out two.
Had to record the show. Had to get back.
Had to record the show. I've done a 90-minute session already today too. I'm making moves, bro.
Look at you. Go ahead.
So Saturday morning, we're about to take off. Actually, rewind to Friday night. Basin's having a super rough night, and I thought of the idea to drop them off in Vegas and fly them home from Vegas to Denver. So it was about a 5-hour drive from Mammoth Lakes to California, to Vegas. And by the way, if any of y'all are coming out to Mammoth and want to fly into Vegas, that is one of your options.
It's five hours.
And dude, yo, you will go through some of the most bizarre scenery that you have ever seen in your life. I mean, it's just desert and like brown, and there's ghost towns, there's brothels. I mean, it's a wild drive.
Huh.
It's a pretty cool experience. I experienced temperatures above 120 on the way, which was
did you crumble?
Insane.
You just fold?
Yeah. Dude, I rolled the window down because I was reading the temperature off the car, and I rolled the window down, put my hand out, and it legitimately felt like when you are like baking a pizza in the oven and you open the oven and the heat wave kind of hits you in the face. It was like burning. It was burning my hand.
Were you ever were you like, oh man, is this bad for the car? Are we going to make it?
Right. For real. For real. So Sarah agrees to the plan.
And nice. Good idea.
Right. I'm like, all right, well, all you have to do is make it 5 hours. We timed it right to where we were at the airport about 90 minutes before their flight. So they weren't gonna have to hang out at the airport. She just brought the essentials. She had like two, we're potty training him right now, and he's pretty good, but brought two diapers, just the clothes on their back. And
nice, no bag fees, fly Frontier that way.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yep. It was a Spirit flight. This was a Spirit flight.
So it's probably cheap too.
It was $100
nice.
A pop.
Nice.
So
worth it.
$200, get them home, get Basin home, and now it was my job to haul ass the rest of the way from Vegas on my own. Well, I dropped them off and I don't know, maybe an hour outside of Vegas. And Sarah calls me and I'm thinking she's about to tell me like, hey, we're about to board. Like, I love you. Talk to you later. And she's like, our flight just got delayed by 30 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that kind of sucks, but whatever, like 30 minutes. The reasoning was the airplane was too hot inside and they needed the temperature to cool down, which made sense. It was above 120 degrees. It was freaking hot, dude. Like I can't even, it made 100 degrees feel, because I once you got outside of Vegas, the temperature drops a little bit and you get into 100 degrees and it actually feels kind of nice. You're like, this is actually like, you can be outside in 100 degrees, 120.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, you can't really do anything. Like, you just want to stay inside. So the plane needed to cool down. 30 minutes passes by. Sarah calls me back. She's like, they delayed it again, 30 minutes. And I'm like, ah, that sucks. But whatever. Like, it's another 30 minutes, no big deal. Calls back a third time and says another 30 minutes. And by then I'm like, I know this song and dance, you know, I've flown Spirit Airlines a bunch and I regret it every single time.
Always sucks. Never fun. Frontier, same. Terrible, yep. Terrible experience.
And at this point, it's starting to get later in the evening. It's starting to get like 5-6 o'clock. And
you're just still forging.
I'm still forging on.
Like, I'm into
like Utah or something by like this point.
I'll be there. Yeah.
And Sarah's like, should you come back and get me? And I'm like, babe, I'm already like 2 hours outside of Vegas. Like, I think we have to ride this out and hope for the best at this point, you know? And eventually it got to the point, there was no updates, no sign of anything happening. I told her to search other flights going to Denver that day. I knew it was going to be more expensive, but at this point I'm like, I don't fucking care. I just want to get you guys home. Just find another flight. There was another flight, Frontier this time. So
strong.
On par with Spirit here.
Trade the yellow for the green. There'll be like an otter on your tail wing. They're good.
Yep. And that was about, I think it was 150 a pop. So still, I was like $300. I'm like, I'm just going to bite the bullet. I'm like, who cares? So they have to leave that part of the airport that they were in, go back through security, get on a bus, go to a different part of the airport, go through security again.
Oh,
and
lame.
At this point, Basin is just like getting super fussy. He's just like over the whole thing. But I'm feeling better. I'm like, okay, like screw that flight. Like you'll get home a few hours later, but at least you're going to get home. And she calls me and she's like, this flight is delayed 30 minutes or something like that. And I'm like, at this point, I'm getting frustrated with this whole thing. I'm like, I was thinking Spirit Airlines and Frontier were working together to try to get more business, like
conspiring.
Yeah. I'm like, were there no
airplanes taken off then? Was it just like, oh, it's
so hot? I don't
know.
There was a United flight, but it was like $300 a pop. And I'm like, I'm not going to drop another $600 to get,
because Basin's
two now. So you have to buy his own seat.
He's a full ticket price?
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah. So that flight gets delayed a third time.
Oh my God.
And now we're kind of back and forth. It's like, do I go back to the other side of the airport to try to catch the original flight that we tried to book? Or do we stick this one out? And she ended up sticking the Frontier flight out. I believe the Spirit Airlines flight ended up getting canceled altogether. The Frontier flight ended up leaving. Well, it got to the point where I was like, I felt so bad. I was like emotional on the phone. I'm like, I feel like I abandoned you guys, you know, yeah. thinking I'm doing like a good thing. But in reality, I left my family at the airport and kept on driving. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. Find a nice hotel in Vegas. I'll book you a hotel. Pick whatever you want. Like it's my, like whatever
Ball
you want.
Out.
I don't care. Ball out. Let's go. It's the least I can do. And that's what she ends up doing. She books a hotel. And just after she books the hotel, they decide they were going to board the plane. And at this point, I think it's after 9 p.m. So they're not getting to Denver until close to midnight, because they're losing an hour of time as well.
Mm.
So she ends up booking this hotel, but she's like, all right, I guess, should I get on the plane? And I was like, yeah, just get on the plane. We'll try to talk to customer service and get our money back for the hotel, explain the situation and hope for the best. So she gets on the plane. They ultimately get home, I think a little after midnight. And at this point, the whole day, I'm just like driving on the road. But it was just a nightmare. They were supposed to be home at like five something. And they were at the airport hanging out for like 6+ hours with Basin, who is sick.
Not good. Yeah, that was the whole point, is to try to get home quicker. Get this like, kid. In
she didn't have clothes. Area. She took just like her little purse with her, because we're like, she's going to hop on the plane and take a 90-minute flight home and everything's going to be good. And yeah, it turned into a whole fiasco. And yeah, I felt pretty bad about the situation. But I ended up driving all the way to Grand Junction yesterday and then drove from Grand Junction to Denver today, which is about a 4-hour flight, actually was perfect, because this morning was the Wimbledon final between Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz.
So your boy got worked.
It took the whole match took the entire drive. It like worked out perfectly. I had the audio on, like listening.
It was like an old guy listening to the radio.
It was so cool, man. And unfortunately, my boy took the L in 5 sets. But dude, it was an unreal match. Unreal match.
Is it?
The young gun got him.
I could see how it could be a pretty decent experience if you have a good play-by-play announcer giving it to you for tennis.
Yeah, and it's legends that are announcing it. It's like the McEnroe brothers and Chris Fowler. So I mean, it's like
344 days until next year. You better get practicing, dude.
I know, dude. I know. I was happy to see kind of a new guy on the throne, because in the last 20 years, only 4 guys have won Wimbledon, and each of them have won it 2-3 years, 4-5 years. It's Rafa, it's Roger, it's Andy Murray, and it's Novak.
Hmm.
And so Carlos enters. He's only 20. He's 20 years old. So to see the young gun beat the 36-year-old, the aging athlete, I was like, damn it. Like, I hated to see the older guy go down, you know, because I'm in that boat right now.
I was literally thinking that same thing. I used to root for the younger cats when I was a younger cat myself. But now I'm like, let's keep these old dogs out there winning, because now we're old. You're older than I am.
Not by much. We graduated the same year, bro.
But you're older than me. So I'm aging gracefully.
That was a wild trip. And dude, I did workouts along the way, obviously. Training, gotta get it done. I trained at so many different altitudes over the last I trained at 6,000 feet, 4,500 feet, 3,000 feet, 7,000 feet, 8,000 feet. And it's wild to experience the internal just like feelings of that altitude.
It must I could imagine just like back to back to back to back, how you can get a pretty close side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Because
for sure. And I planned a track workout in St. George on the second day, because that was going to be the lowest altitude of the trip, which was right about 3,000 feet. And we can get into workout of the week later on, but I did do a track workout. But dude, I went first thing in the morning, 6 o'clock, and it was still 90 degrees at like 6 a.m.
That's just been the thing, right? We're just kind of like in this heat wave. I think it's going to be close to 100 here tomorrow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think I might cool off later on. But what's nice about, it was hot. I hit the track on, I forget what day, Friday maybe. And it was warm, but I got there like 9 a.m. The sun's been out. But in Colorado, it's still like kind of cool. You know, you can still take some time for it to heat up. Without that humidity, you just can't do anything.
No.
You wake up at 4 a.m. Doesn't matter. Sun might not be out for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you're still just toast. Got nothing.
It would be impossible to be a high-level athlete and like live in some of these places that I traveled through. I'm like, it's not even possible. I mean, yeah, sure. I guess you could train inside, but
I think some people in Colorado go to Arizona for the winter just because they'll do training camps.
I think runners.
I think they'll go hit
like Flagstaff or something.
Well, what's nice about Flagstaff, I think that you can access sea level easier, like here, because where it's like this like high plains. Yeah.
Phoenix isn't like super far.
Right. So you can get there. If you really needed to do a session, which would actually be sick, because we were talking
Yes. And Hunter's got the perfect setup, because he has his spot in Malibu, and then he also has his spot in Crestline that he can like go up to. After doing that workout in St. George, I was just like, dude, I'm lacking some serious like speed and turnover that I can't access up here at like higher altitudes.
Not for long.
Sure. Yeah. Not for long. You get the benefits of being up here, but you also lack some of the speed component that you can access more at lower elevations.
This is something that it was a real struggle for me moving here last year, kind of prepping into DECA, honestly.
Oh, you got work, dude. You got work. Well,
with that prep, listen, your boy was
That DECA mile, you were like here for like a week.
Oh, that was a DECA strong.
Yeah.
We arrived on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, Tuesday. You're like, hey, dude, nice to meet you. Come up to this thing. We'll hang out. I was like, fine. Yeah, I was like
13
something. Even that DECA mile that was a couple months later, I still was not right. I got in over my head. I got hit by the altitude. But I used to think with these threshold workouts, I would basically start at a mile. 5 minutes would be kind of where, and not a mile, whatever, 5 minutes would kind of be where I would start for the threshold pieces at sea level, just because I felt like the more time spent there, the better, right? In that zone where just you're getting the lactic response, you're able to kind of help sit at that like steady state, not having a tip of too far one direction or another. 5 minutes to me is like appropriate. Mm-hmm. When I moved here, trying to do five was like scary, because my respiration rate would just tip. And then when that happened, everything would just be out of sorts and I'd have to pull back. So I had to start doing my threshold sessions with like 600s, 400s, and just like keeping the rest much shorter. if I wanted that pace to be, if I wanted the mechanical piece to be even close. And even like when, so I'm not exactly sure. I know with heart rate stuff, right? Like that's some way to kind of think about it. It's like, okay, you have to go off heart rate. And heart rate isn't necessarily indicative of lactic response. Like you're like how your internal muscles are happening. Like it can be correlated. And that's kind of how they do it with these watches. Like generally, if you're here, like your muscles will be working hard enough that it's going to need a byproduct. It might be kind of in a little bit more oxygen debt, generally speaking. But it's not like pricking my finger and being like, you're in threshold because your lactate is above 2 millimolars or whatever. So I don't even think heart rate data is that good for trying to train at threshold at altitude initially, because it's just like you can't breathe. So like whenever I get down, I find it on the machines is a place that really almost instantly, if I get on a row or I even mentioned that when we were going to Dubai, I was like, yo, what do you think about doing a 2K while we're here? You're like, I don't think so, bro.
I feel like for me, 520 pace up here, like I live at 6,300. I'm on borrowed time, like after about a mile at 520 pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? I can get there if everything out is working okay. If I'm like, but like 520 is fast. If I'm like, I'm usually like five, if I'm in 530s for a mile, I should be where I need to go.
And sometimes it's hard to hit really fast workouts to give you that confidence that you're super fit up here, you know? But then going down to a lower elevation, like I did in St. George and popping a good one, it's like, it's very reassuring for me to know that like, okay, like you are fit.
It's there.
Everything's going according to the plan. I think I do want to take more trips down to sea level. And
it's like, how?
I know.
Because that's the thing, these high plains, you got to drive like fucking 4 hours in either direction.
If you drive east into like eastern Colorado into Kansas, the elevation is still above like 5,000 feet.
Yeah.
So there would take nowhere to go.
It would take 4 hours, I think, to get anywhere remotely close to sea level, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what's nice about a Flagstaff. Yeah,
for sure.
Or yeah, like an LA. Like LA would be lame because you'd be there and be tough to
just
you'd have to live there.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I don't know if it's as much of a benefit as we might think it is, especially in like hybrid racing.
Where speed matters.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I don't think it hurts, but one time Bracken was mentioning, and he's kind of on something about this, or he heard it somewhere and was kind of pontificating about it, about something being at sea level for like, it's almost jarring to go from altitude to sea level. Like you need almost a little bit of time to adapt at sea level so that you can run at your best. Just something with how
I agree with that.
The oxygen shuttled around. And I'm not sure if there's anything physiological there or if it is just more acclimating to how hard you can go.
When I ran my DecaFit PR in West Palm last year, we took a trip to Florida and we were there all week long. And I felt like each day that I was there, I felt a little bit better each day as the week got on.
Yeah.
The first day I obviously noticed it, but then even just like your body starts to recover a little bit more, you know, you're absorbing some of your training.
Jim.
So I think a week would be like an ideal place to be if you were like going down to sea level to try to pop a good one. I wouldn't try to go the day before. I mean, sure, like you're gonna get the benefit, but
it's gonna feel a little bit better. Like there is definitely an acute feeling when you first come down of just a full breath of air. Like, oh, there it is. But yeah, when I ran it for Deca Worlds, which is really the only time I've ever had a feeling of okay, something feels stronger today. I was at sea level from like Tuesday until Saturday. So same kind of deal. I think that's an appropriate amount of time too. And being able to hit something like relatively hard, I think also matters.
For sure. For sure.
So you're telling me if you would have flown out to Palmerton, you would have received that work because you wouldn't have had that?
I would have been on that podium. I think I could have, without a doubt. Kempson was impressive to me.
Yeah, he was good.
Atkins was kind of what he always is. He's just in the mix. Kind of, he looked a little bit sluggish, kind of in and out of obstacles, but I'm sure it was more just the intensity of the event that probably got to him a little bit. I think he's been doing more long trail races and things like that, so maybe the effort was a little harder of a punch than he was expecting.
Potentially, yeah. It was hot. It was hot.
But still, it's such a short race, though, man. Like, for me, the heat and humidity never really bothered me unless the race was, like, over 45 minutes long.
And that's kind of the thing, you know? Like, where I may mention this on Race Brand. Like, there's a discomfort with – we talked about this, too. There's a discomfort with humidity and with altitude that's mental. And then there's a physical part as well. Like, the physical, I think, would take in those longer ranges of a race for the humidity to really kick in. But from a mentality standpoint, I feel like the discomfort is almost the same, where it's like, okay, this sucks, but it sucks all the time where I train.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But did you have FOMO?
A little bit.
Yeah.
There was some disappointments, though, man. I was a little disappointed in a few people. And I, Bracken being one of them. And that's my boy, so I can dog on him a little bit.
Throwing him that shade.
Like, I was upset that he just kind of, it looked like he never really tried to assert himself in like the race. He just kind of took a back seat and was just kind of hoping to.
He qualified through one round. So I've been talking to him. I called him today.
Didn't call you back?
He didn't call me back. Hold on, let me check my phone right quick. Nothing.
And then Rylan, seeing Rylan fall off the rig, I'm like, bro, what are you doing? You know, and he's another guy. I've gotten to know him pretty good. So I feel like I can say these things about him and he not take offense to it. But like, dude, you are way stronger than that to fall off that multi-rig. what are you doing, man?
He still makes mistakes sometimes.
He does.
And I mean, that's also what's kind of just like OCR in general when you're watching the race. And did you watch the Savage race from 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Where
not
like,
the whole thing, but.
Oh, we talked about the finish though.
Yeah.
But in the women's race, Chris was just kind of hanging out and forth, kind of jogging along. Then all the women just missed an obstacle. Like, they missed it like two or three times. And Chris came through and got through. And in that case, like, Chris is, you know, one of the best athletes in the world for sure. But it just shows like that the race doesn't always play out. Like, the result doesn't always show what was indicative of. And that was with this race too. It's like, Veerman missed that bell. They gave him a DQ. They reinstated him. They put him back in the results. But then Rylan misses. Like, all right, these are like two guys in the top five that who certainly would be there. And it's like, they're just like, something stupid happened. Is there a sport like, I mean, like, what else in a sport would be like that? I guess like, where it's like, not, you can't redeem yourself from something really small happening where there's that many. Cause I mean, that would be the case in most endurance event. Like, if you have something bad happen in like a cycling event, you're probably not going to be able to make it up. But there's like less factors in like running or cycling that would lead to something like that happening, you know? Mm-hmm. And all other sports, like, there's little mistakes made all along the way with ball sports, but they can be made up with instantly.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
I'll tell you who didn't look rusty was Lindsay.
Yeah, she
just
crushed.
Looked phenomenal, man.
She is crushed.
So good.
I don't think I had any FOMO.
No?
No.
People seem to be complaining about this barbed wire situation now. I haven't been checking social a ton this past week. I've been busy, but feel like there's some people pouting about the scratches.
I think it's just part of the deal, man. You run a Spartan race, and then when you finish Spartan race, you complain about Spartan race. That's just how it works. You signed up for a Spartan race.
And it wasn't even like a super low barbed wire crawl. If you're getting scratched up, I think it's your own fault, man. You could walk almost through the whole thing.
But it's like, you know, you're racing. I'm sure I would have been scratched too. I'd have been pissed as well. And I don't like the barbed wire in races. But like,
the ranting afterwards, I'm just like, come
it's going to be there.
Y'all are getting soft on me.
I had a question for you.
What you got?
If they, I was watching the CrossFit Games last year. I'm deep in it. I watched all the regionals. I'm gonna try to do some sort of preview with the homies over at Omnia, and just I'm studying up because I need to do some work. I haven't been competitive in a while. I need to compete, so I'm gonna do some fantasy CrossFit stuff. I was rewatching it last year's. What if there was a hybrid event with an actual bicycle in it?
So essentially another machine, but rather than a machine, we're actually going out somewhere.
You run like 1,000, and then after another station, you bike like a mile and a half.
Where are we doing this? Around the convention centers?
I'm just out here spitting hypotheticals at you. You don't come at me with these type of problems.
I think that would just make it too complicated.
You're out on it?
I think I'm out. What if there was a hybrid event instead of the running? It was a bicycle. So you like biked into the stations.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like the transitions in and out. Because even watching, do you pop on the tour at all?
The Tour de France?
Yeah.
I have been this year, not following it all that much, no.
Apparently, I was talking to some friends that are kind of knowing what's going on, but I guess it's like the past 2 years' winners are like 3 seconds apart. It seems like it's a really good, compelling race right now. But even just watching the CrossFitters go, and I was had this thought as well with the CrossFitters. I was watching some of them on a bicycle, and I was like, oh, they kind of know how to like race bikes. I was like, that's kind of impressive. But I'm sure cyclists watch these guys, and like they're trash. The same way we see them run. Where non-runners were like, oh, these guys actually like, they can run, they can move. And we're watching it. We're like, these dudes can't.
If there was like a concept, we were on like one of those concept two bikes, I think I'd be down. But the skill of biking,
yeah,
I don't have that.
But could you learn it? You're on that mountain bike. You're at Spartan Race, Spartan Games.
I mean, if it was a road bike situation, probably. But
how many hearts do you think you won just fucking balling? You rode a bicycle for the first time.
That was some of the sketchiest terrain, bro.
Took the training wheels off. You're like, dude, I don't know. I've never been mountain biking like that. I don't think I would have liked that one bit.
If it wasn't in a competitive atmosphere, there's no way in hell I would have gone down some of the stuff I went down.
But that's what I'm saying. For even like an event with a gravel bike, not even like a hardcore road bike where the skills are like real aerodynamics. People are
I'm
getting
out,
real
dude.
Speed.
I'm out.
You just did it in Spartan Games.
Come on, dude.
People love you for that. If it was like 20 G's, one race, not even, I meant 30 G's. And like nobody else can cycle. Like I'm in it.
Maybe.
40 G's, you won't ride a bicycle? What about like a BMX?
40 G's, somebody good's coming in. Somebody who can ride a bike is coming in.
They're not invited. They're not invited. All right, that's how that thought. Anybody, because I mean, like, or like a swim. What if it was?
No, definitely no.
What if it was a
swimming? I'm worse at swimming than I am biking.
100-meter swim. Well, again, Spartan Games. All you got to do is just stand up on the ground, just dive it forward. That's how, and you're good to go. And you're killing people. I think it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I don't know. All right, you're out on a swim, you're on a bicycle, running. We're just running.
I like it the way it is.
Okay. I'm just spitballing here.
The way it is.
All right, that's fine.
I got a question for you.
What you got?
What's the biggest sponsorship? What's the best sponsorship you've gotten in either your OCR or hybrid racing career? What opportunities are out there for aspiring professionals in this space? Can you do it?
This is an interesting question. And my kind of ride through it, I was obviously a track athlete, cross country. Then I was just hitting like road circuits. And at that point in my life, when I was like 22 to 25, I was pumped up. There was this race in Central Jersey. I believe it was in Bridgewater, New Jersey.
Nobody knows where that is.
I know. That's what I'm telling you. And I wouldn't tell anybody about it. And it would be a 5K and they paid out $200 and I wasn't telling anybody. And I would just go there, win by 2.5 minutes, collect that $200. And I felt like a G, dude. You know, and that was bad.
I won a couple races like that too. When like $100 and you're like, yes.
You're like, are you kidding me? That was back when shoes were like $110. Like, this is like, or if you got a gift card for shoes, that was actually pretty dope too.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a problem. Mm-hmm. So then when I learned that Spartan Race was paying out however much, like $500 for a win, like $250 for second, I was like, this is crazy how much money they have here, where really good high level athletes, if you win the Broad Street Run in Philadelphia, you have to run 45 minutes for 10 miles. That's like 4:30s, right? You win $3,000 for that race when there's 50,000 people that enter. You have to be one of the best runners in the world to do that. And you can go to like, you can run a couple Spartan races and cherry pick and make that money and not really go against any competition. So I thought that it was amazing to even be able to make that type of prize money. So I was happy with that for a long time. Sponsorships and things, that's been brand new to me. That's been brand new to me just within the past 12 months.
Dude, I won $2,000 at my second Spartan race ever. At the South Carolina Beast in 2014.
You gave everybody
they
that
wrote
work?
Me a check. They wrote me a check. I did. They wrote me a check for $2,000, went to the bank right after, deposited it. And I like took a picture of this. I was like, I am rich.
That's crazy. $2,000. That's still a good payday. You know, but like back then, come on, two G's. That's a
bro. When you got a family to support, that is not a lot of money.
Yeah, but that's not that's the thing. It's like, you shouldn't be racing Spartan races if that's the case.
Yeah, true. But I just remember, I was like, yes, like I've made it.
That's real money. You know, that's
the time it was for sure.
For sure. So the stuff with, so for being paid to not even have, well, based on past performances, essentially, it's what a sponsorship, like a paid sponsorship would be, right? Like what you've done then would give evidence to what you can do for like a brand. That's all new to me. That's stuff that is just, I've never had this type of opportunity. Super great before. So the 10,000 powerlift, they're just amazing. I mean, it's just like that we like the product.
You reached out to your boy here for some. For some advice.
Yeah, you've been in the game for what, a decade? When was that? When was that race?
8 years.
Yeah.
What was your 2014. And then I got my first big deal in 2015.
Through Spartan.
It was Marriott Rewards. It was me and Rose Wetzel.
At Bonvoy?
Marriott Bonvoy.
You still got
it? It wasn't Bonvoy back then. It was Marriott Rewards.
Did you give him that idea? When did they turn Bonvoy?
I think a couple years ago.
You didn't give him any feedback?
Nope. But yeah, so Rose and it was only my second year, dude. I'd only been competing like a year. And I think, you know, I showed a lot of promise. I think I was highly marketable. And I was just like living. And at the time I was living in Mammoth. I was renting a room out from a buddy of mine for $500 a month.
Nice.
I had like no bills. I didn't have a car payment. So I was just living large. It was way too soon. I don't think I should have been awarded that, but I wasn't going to turn it down.
No,
obviously. Like, so I did a lot of work for them, man. We did a ton of stuff together. And one of the coolest things we got to do was do that Spartan race in Chicago with the cast of Friday Night Lights.
Huh.
That was a ton of fun. Zach and I are actually still friends to this day.
Never seen the show. The show or the movie?
Come on, the show.
I understand, bro. Like the there's something about
QB1, bro. QB1.
How full, like if your heart is all the way at capacity, the outcome is not in question. I understand. You picking me up?
I'm picking you up.
You got picking up on my dad over here, dude.
Dude, I even got another deal the next year in 2016 with Optimum Nutrition, which is a huge,
the biggest nutrition company in the world.
And it was for about the same amount. So for over 2 years, man, I was just getting these rock solid deals. And when you're getting deals like that, yes, you can be a professional like in this space without a doubt, you know, on top of prize winnings that you get from competing and whatnot. To this date, those two and OCR, those are my highest sponsorship deals that I've ever gotten. I've had some good ones in hybrid too.
If I had to guess what happened on those, and even what's kind of happening with hybrid, right? You're they're kind of catching a wave and people are betting on the sport to grow. And therefore you will grow because of that. You will be one of the first people that new participants encounter when they come into the sport. Right. So I think about this for CrossFitters, right? Again, thinking about a lot, I'm dialed in. I'm going to take that W, fantasy CrossFit, that like they have such big followings because that market is so much bigger that there are companies that aren't even in like the mix necessarily for just CrossFitters that like, hey, we're a water bottle company. This person has 300,000 followers. Like we can make work something out because of this, and they can pick up a whole string of smaller sponsorships along the way that mm-hmm. I think most athletes in CrossFit who are like games level, or even maybe like if you're marketable enough at like a team level or even like a regionals level, I think you can do it full time. But in terms of where we are right now,
I think some companies too are willing to take a net loss just for the exposure piece to it and hope that they get their return on investment at some point.
And for the most part, like a couple G, like 30 G's is something like people are going to notice that probably no matter what company you're looking for, but the kind of deals we're getting, like, is it even that big of a risk? Like you're probably mm-hmm. not going to like take a 1-to-1 like or double your money back, but like the amount of money that companies are dealing with versus how much we would cost, it's probably just like why not give it a
right.
shot,
right? For sure.
I'm not sure, man. What do you think?
And like it sucks too in this space because most companies really. I mean, it's not like the NFL or NBA where you can sign multi-year deals. Everything is on a year-to-year basis.
Well, that's so, right. Right. And that, like
you might be set for a year, but you don't know what's going to happen after that.
That's so how always, like professional running is too, right?
Is it?
I think so. I mean,
So like people signing shoe deals with like Saucony, Nike, like those are only one year
deals? I think so. Yeah. And unless it's who would be like a Centro, who would be worth multi-year deals in that? Like if they're not performing, Jakob, right? Like, but if Jakob gets hurt, doesn't perform for 2 years, like, is he valuable to companies?
Right.
Because the structure in which these sports leagues operate, right? Like all the teams are individually owned and the league mm-hmm. kind of is overseeing all of it. And the teams are who are paying these out. We don't have like an entity that makes money that's outside of the brand or race company itself that could justify giving us a salary. Because that would be that could potentially, like, if there ends up being a legitimate league, right, where there's some sort of, you think UPS would get down? Think they could be our sponsor? Team UPS for High Rocks?
It's not looking good, bro. It's not looking good.
You know, they'll sponsor us one thing at a time. Let's get that regular paycheck back before we start asking about being on a team here. But that's what it would have to be, right? It'd have to be some company or some rich person or a group of rich people, because that's ultimately what NBA teams are. It's like a rich guy owns it.
Right.
You know, who wants to fund a team and therefore pay salaries to the athletes. And I think some shoe companies will do this that's what the professional companies, the professional runners are. The shoe companies are kind of like the rich guy funding the team.
So are Powerlift and 10,000, are those like your first legitimate sponsors?
Yeah.
As an athlete?
Paid sponsors, yeah.
That's cool, man.
Thanks, dude. You like, it's really cool. I'm
good fucking, job, buddy.
I'm 37 years old, going pro. And you like negotiated those deals for me, basically.
A little bit. If this sport could grow a little bit more, I'd love to be a sports agent. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think
I'm into it.
I think you could do it, but I think you need to have some legal education.
That I don't have.
You could do it. AI knows all the laws. It knows everything that's on the internet. You just look that shit up now.
That'll work.
You can do that.
It'll get the job done.
Do you foresee there this being a legitimate path for people to... Because right now, like, I guess talk when you first went pro, let's say, how risky did that feel?
Not risky at all, because I was single. I didn't have kids, you know, like I didn't have a mortgage, you know, it didn't feel like a risk at all. But now everything, the whole dynamic changes when you do have a mortgage to pay, you have a wife, you have a kid, like everything changes. And I mean, I think it's safe to say, like, yeah, I'm one of the best in hybrid and I need a day job. And even somebody like yourself, who is one of the best in hybrid, you have your coaching business. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we're not able to solely make our living off of competing alone. And I hope that it's someday for future generations that is a possibility. But right now, if you're looking to become that, it's hard to do.
Might want to wait.
It's hard to do.
Might want to have some money in the bank first. Because say, like, if you play this out, right, if you win everything, or say, like, you win half of the things.
Just say everything.
Well, if you win everything, okay, yeah, if you win everything, you get, and say you have, let's say, because, I mean, if we're the top athletes in this space, right, domestically, they have our kind of deals. We definitely shouldn't get into specifics of what we're getting paid now, just I don't think companies like that very much.
No.
But, it's say they have some sort of three paid sponsors accumulating, what, you want to say 30? Between three, if you're the bet, like, that four paid sponsors paying you and you're up to, let's just say 20, right?
Okay.
You get paid, yeah, 20,000. And if you win Hyrox, that's what, 20,000?
Mm-hmm.
So we're at 40. And right now, me at 22 is like, I'm balling.
Right.
I'm crushing.
Is DECA bumping up their prize money at Worlds this year?
I don't know. Why are you worried about it?
I'm not worried a bit, but it would be nice. Freaking killed myself last year for 8 Gs.
It's not bad, though.
Not bad.
Not bad. I don't think they did. So say, okay. And then if that's the case, say you get podium bonuses. Say it's between these five sponsors, $2,000 to win or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you win 6 races.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's
seems
fair.
Reasonable.
Think that that's fair. And so right now we're at like 52.
That's not a lot of money, dude.
And if like you take other races into consideration, like a couple DECAs, add another eight grand if you're doing some goofy games.
And I mean, you got to think about all of the other things you need to do as a professional athlete to keep your body and healthy and tip top shape, you know, like getting massages, going to a chiropractor, like things like that.
Those are the expenses you add up. Yeah. I think if you are the absolute
best. You're making as much as, I don't know, what's a job that makes about $50,000 a year?
60 grand a year, I don't know.
Teacher? Yeah.
You could get like a teacher's wage, and so you could live off that.
But you don't have health insurance, so you'd have to pay for that too. That's mm-hmm. another expense.
Absolutely.
So,
paying for your travel and everything. I mean, like there's expenses associated with a bunch of stuff, right? Like there's always going to be expenses, but I think if you were the absolute best, you could do it, but it would be a risk, right? You'd have to be balling
on a
budget.
That's if you win everything.
Right. If something happens, Hyrox World Championships, you get leaned out at the tape, you know, that ramp sprint, it's tough post wall balls.
Your boy lost $6,000 on the wall balls.
But yeah, good guy off the podium too. Yeah. So say something like that happens and it takes it from 20 to like seven, just like that. Mm-hmm. 13 grand just out of your pocket. It'd be hard. I think it'd be hard.
For sure.
But maybe where the sport's going. I don't know.
How long can you keep competing at a high level? How many years you got?
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't like that. I don't like that gesture.
I don't know, man. It's like, I feel as good as I've ever felt. I feel like I'm getting stronger. I feel like I'm getting as fast as I need to be. I feel like I can keep that. If I wanted to get faster, I believe that I could. I don't know if recovery is better or worse. I'm doing a good job, like taking care of myself. I think like two or three. What do you think?
More than that for me.
Like, what's a high level though? Like as good as you are now?
Yeah.
More than that, how many?
Six or seven.
You're an optimist.
Six or seven. But yo, I finished that workout on Wednesday with my 100-meter EMOM, right? That I do. And got in the car afterwards and drove 8 hours. When I got out of that car, I was limping around.
Right.
Like my hamstrings were freaking lit. And I didn't experience those kind of things when I was in my 20s.
I'm not sure though. Is that true? Like, I don't think I was aware enough when I was younger.
That might be true. Yeah, that could be true.
Because people say that's like, oh, it takes longer now. It's like, I'm sure it does, but like, do you have evidence? How much longer? But I'm not sure. I think life factors are probably what weigh people down earlier. And I can't really speak because I'm again, no kids, just out here, got my grass.
So you're not making it to 40.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try.
Are you going to be the athlete who just keeps going until the wheels fall off?
I was thinking about, I don't know, like if I don't make Elite 15 again this year, like when do I go age group? You know, like, I don't know.
And it's not going to be any easier this year. You know, it's just going to keep getting tougher.
I'm gonna be in Spain, okay? So that should be right. way easier.
True. Yeah.
Tell us about a workout. Tell us about a workout.
I got a few, man.
Pick one. One and a half. Pick one, and if I don't like it, I want the other one. Don't give me the whole week.
I'm gonna do two.
All right, he's got two. You're gonna do two.
On Wednesday, I was in St. George, about 3,000 feet altitude. I did 1x2 mile on the track, rest 4 minutes, 2x800 with 3 minutes rest, 2x400 with 2 minutes rest, and then 8x100 meter EMOM. So 4 miles of quality. So big break after that 2 mile. I went 10:27.
Ooh, that's good enough. That would probably get you third in most dual meets.
Probably.
You might score a point for the team.
I was actually pretty happy with that because I broke 10 one time. I ran like 9:57 in high school.
I went to the altitude. Three digits, not four. Look at me.
Breaking 10 was like the gold standard in high school. Breaking 10 and then breaking 4:30, I think were like the gold standard.
Did you get under, you're under two?
Uh-huh. Not in the open in a 4x8.
Right. Yeah, that I'll count it. That's fine. What's a better mark? Sub two, sub 10?
I think sub 10.
4:30. You think so? You think 9:57 is better than like 4:27?
Actually, no. Probably sub 4:28. Yeah.
You know how I know you were 4:30?
Because I was always like 20 seconds, whatever my mile time was. Usually you can add 20 seconds roughly and then double it. It was kind of like what your 2 mile.
Oh, is that right?
It's kind of what I always used.
Oh.
But I think that's changed over the years.
I think that it could be fair. It could be fair.
But I went to the altitude conversion, and at 3,000 feet, it's 12 seconds over the course of 2 miles. So my 10:27 would actually convert it to a 10:15.
Nice.
At sea level.
507.
I went out, I could have gone faster. I went out in like 79s and just basically ran 79s until the bell and then went closed in 72.
Dang, look at you with that kick. That was that 100-meter EMOM.
Did the 800s in like 220. And dude, I haven't done 800s and 220 without feeling like death in so long.
It's pretty good.
But like running 70 second quarters wasn't that difficult.
How much break after the two, after the 800s?
The 800s were three minute rests.
Okay. And running 220s. Okay.
Yeah. And then the fours, I did 65, 66.
This is solid, man.
Yeah. I was like stoked.
Yeah.
I was super stoked.
Not even all the way at sea level, but not at 6,000.
Not at 6,000. And then I did on Saturday morning, which, dude, so the wedding was Friday night. And let's just say, well, I haven't been drinking in a couple weeks. And
just all cava.
I made an exception for this wedding and I had a little bit too much fun.
Woo. What's your wedding drink of choice?
Wine.
I just Vino? Wine, bro. You start with red?
Red wine all
day.
What
was the weather like? Was it nice? Was it outside?
It was hot.
Hot. You still just straight went Pinot to
start?
It was
inside. The wedding was outside, but the party afterwards was indoors.
And you're right off the jump. You don't
care.
Right
off the jump, dude.
Purple teeth, no problem.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. And had a little bit too much fun. And we were supposed to wake up really early and take off driving the next day. And I woke up at like 4 a.m., had to get up at 5 to do this workout. The gym opened at 8, but Sarah's mom is the GM, so she was letting me go in before the gym even opened.
Is this the gym where you guys met?
This is the gym where we met.
Let's go.
And so your boy's he's feeling a little hungover, if I'm being honest. And I didn't have time to do a warm-up, so I just went right into it. And it was 5 rounds of a 1-mile run into a 1K row with 2-minute recoveries. So it was more thresholdy. And I was at 8,000 feet, and the altitude conversion up there is about 18 seconds per mile.
Uh-huh.
So I'm 8,000's
high, man.
8,000's high. And I didn't do a warm-up, so I was going to use the first rep as kind of like my warm-up. I was like, I'll just run like 6:30 pace, which is actually 6:12 at sea level, and just like ease my way into the workout. And I think, dude, I was feeling like crap. And I ended up doing the whole workout at pretty much like 6:20, 6:30.
I'm just going to keep going. What were you rowing?
Rowing like low 150s, up that high too.
So yeah, this is like a tempo effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And five rounds of it. So like the volume, real good volume. It was like 5 by 10 minute intervals.
Mm-hmm.
With 2-minute rest.
Yeah. I like that.
It was good.
I like that. That's like, I feel like that can fit in pretty much anywhere in your week. You know, that's like, you probably weren't too beat up. I mean, you were beat, mm-hmm. you came into it beat up.
Yes.
But the next day.
And even though you're not running after the row, you still feel the accumulative fatigue of the workout to where like you are compromised as the reps go
for
on,
sure.
You know?
For so. Sure. That's not too different from that thing workout I've been doing with the assault bike and row back and forth, where it's kind of like a higher effort, but like when you're done, it feels more like a longer run. There's a lot of space for that. I think the field trains like that quite a bit. We're kind of in that grayish for a longer duration.
For sure. What you got?
Speaking of that, I was all up in that gray zone one day. I think the best I've ever felt about a race was the North American Championships in Chicago, the race that you won, where I was third, and I just felt really strong. I just felt like I was in control of the entire race. Where
what race was this again?
Chicago North American Championships. Okay. You want me to say it again? The one that you won? That one? You just want to hear me say that? Yeah, that's right. I beat Hunter that day. 57:40. So
what race?
I was 60:35, 17th fastest time in the world that year. Got me up into that elite 15. But I was doing these things like that I was calling high rocks tempos, where I was spending a lot of time running at slower than race pace and then just kind of working through the stations at about race effort, but just accumulating a lot, no rest, just kind of going. So I did something similar to that this week. I want those to be back in the mix, especially now that I'm stretched out to a 9-day cycle. There's like a little bit more space in there for it for me. And I feel like if I just check my intensity, the volume itself won't debilitate me for the next couple of days. So I popped into this like high rocks tempo piece, was 800 meter run. And then I would do a sandbag complex with that 150, 10 cleans, 10 squats, 50 meter carry, then 800 meter run. Then I'd come back to the 50 meter sled pull, 800 meter run. And then I did 50 lunges, 50 wall balls, 800 meter, and just did that for 75 minutes. And I only got through like two rounds and change. So, and amassed like 6 miles of running or something.
And
so
what was the intention going into it? To just kind of be tempo-y effort?
Yeah, just to, yeah.
Like just kind of grind?
Just kind of grind. Amass volume. Just being tired, getting tired as I'm going.
You're in full on, dude. You're taking this high rocks training in the off season seriously.
I was looking at the calendar, man. And Madrid is like 10 weeks away. If I'm going to go to Madrid, like I kind of got to be ready. I'm not going to go over there to, you know, even if I go over there and run and it's the same course that we get here, I still need to try to run fast. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to get times early this year. So yeah, I'm just playing around with it. I had some time to do it. So that's what I did. I had some other fun ones that are like,
did you do any spicy stuff?
Oh yeah, I did. I'm continuing that progression where it's like hard up front on the runs and then into mm-hmm. threshold pace. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing around with what the spicy part looks like, what the run part is, what the threshold part's looking like. And it's somewhat progressive right now, but I think the total volume is about the same of what I'm doing each week, but kind of broken out into different pieces to see how it feels. So then I could have a good idea of when to implement it. And then I'm thinking some other things I can kind of spice it up in the middle. I can kind of stretch different pieces. This week I did 4x200 to start with 15 seconds rest, trying to run as fast as I could. Right. And it was miserable. So I got 800 meters.
What is this,
meters,
like an 800 meter simulation kind of thing?
Somewhat, you know? So it kind of felt like that. Like, so that, I think it may have, because that was the idea, right? I've been running 400s in front of it. And I don't think I quite got as anaerobic as I did in that last like 75 meters of the 400 with these 200s, but it was really hard. And I got more speed at about the same, intensity, but I got 800 meters of it instead, right? The 90 second rest. And I've been doing things like 400s, 600, 800s kind of building up. It's because as I've started, I've found that my rhythm is so out of whack. My respiration rate is really hard to kind of get back into check after I do these really hard anaerobic pieces, which makes sense, right? And that's kind of the idea. That's what I want. And this time I was like, I'm just going to see how miles feel. I've been dreading it. I don't want to do miles. I never want to do miles at altitude.
Were you at a track or were you on one of like an air runner or something?
I'm all track now, man. Like moving here in Denver, there's like flat paths everywhere. It's a very flat city. Where I'm at now, it's like if you go north, you're going up. If you're going west, you're going up. The other directions, you're going down. So I found a track. I'm out there.
Nice.
So then I did miles? 3x mile with 400 jog. There was 90 seconds after the 200s, and I went 527, 527, 522. So I was pretty stoked about that. Because I was like, I'm going to, whatever it gives me today is what I'm taking. And I think there's just a rhythm. Once I get into a rhythm in these miles, like
I probably felt better on the third one than you did the first mile.
Oh, no doubt. The first mile of threshold's always rough, and especially after an anaerobic piece. So that's what I'm thinking now. It's like, do I do 3x200, 4x1000, 3x200 again?
Right.
3x1000, you know, like try to jerk it around a little bit, and even more so. So that was the spicy, and not that was the spiciness. So same thing, man. Hamstrings, tough,
real deal.
Tough for a couple of days. Oh, and then I did an in-house CrossFit competition. I didn't tell you.
What'd you do?
There's just like a fundraiser at CrossFit Omnia, and I popped in, and it was like a in-house competition, and it was pretty fun. The way they did it was all like for just to raise money.
One workout.
there's three workouts. One was just like this couplet of step ups and wall walks. Your partner had to be doing something, whatever. And they randomly gave you partners for each workout. So you couldn't like come with like some super team or whatever. The second workout, I think you like this one. It was 3 minute running clock, 400 meter run, max toes to bar for your team. And then 90 second rest. That was hard. I'm so sore from toes to bar. I'm
like lit. Your core,
everything, hip flexors.
You don't do those?
I don't have a pull up bar up.
Yeah, that's true.
I gotta get my pull up.
You do have a pull up bar.
I have one. I just gotta put that thing up.
I do toes bar every week.
Yeah, I like them. I want to keep them in the repertoire, or I gotta get that GHD back. And
it'll keep your grip good if you ever decide to go back into OCR.
If I didn't go to Palmerton for 3K, I'm never going to do OCR ever again. If there was ever a race I was doing, it was that one. It's like in my home area. 3K should be my jam. And then the final workout, this one was funny. It was with your partner, 6 rounds of 100 meter row. But the kicker was you had to try to get to 100 on the nose. And however far off you were, you had to do that.
I would crush this, dude.
You think you can get, I don't know, man.
Dude, I know. I know when to stop my last stroke.
To get it on the dot?
I'd nail it. I know that if I take one powerful stroke at like 77 meters, it's going to it's going to stop right at 100.
I would take out right at 70. I'll take my last one and then do like a little mini one and it would get like, I got it once. And then if you get it on,
that's fun.
It was fun. And if you got it right on the nose, you got 5 seconds off. I got second overall, dude.
Yeah.
I was on that podium.
Look at you.
Podium
Look at
bonus.
You. CrossFit athlete.
Out here. The guy who won is actually like, he went to regionals. He's like nasty. All right. What else we got?
Wait, dude. That's it, man.
That's all
Let's
we
wrap
got.
It up.
I think we're full. I think the training camp is just about full. So we'll
That's
keep
what
everybody
I hear.
Posted.
I've been a little out of the loop.
Just pulling your weight.
Vacation week. But I've been following
like
along. I've been That's following good. Along.
Great. Appreciate it.
It was kind of, I was surprised at the level of interest that we got right off the bat with this thing.
So that's a good sign. So if people are interested, hopefully, and if it goes well and it's not, and if we think it's valuable, we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So
it closes Sunday, right?
The initial
application
piece is like done. And if things fall through for some people, we maybe will open things back up. But for the most part, I think we're pretty good.
And if you did apply, correct me if I'm wrong, if you did apply and you are not selected, you will be kind of like first come, first serve on the next one.
Yeah. You'll be the first to know. Yeah. Absolutely. So drink Powerlift, wear 10,000.
You'd else? Be good to go.
That's all. That's all you need. That's it. And that's all. All right, squad.
Rich Ryan Kent signing off.
Late.